Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Lore Watch, a roundtable freeform discussion about lore in the games of Blizzard Entertainment. I'm your host, Joe Perez, one of several lore-focused folks from Blizzard Watch, and I've got my wonderful co-host with me today, Matt Rossi. How are we doing today, Matt?
Wonderfully, apparently.
Well, we're going to be going through some more of your questions there at home, and in the future, if you have more that you want to send to us, be sure to send them to our email, which is podcast@blizzardwatch.com, or you can throw them in our Discord channel. We have a patron question channel for the podcast and Q. So we're going to start out with one from Shadana today. I don't think we got time to go. We didn't have time to go with this one the last couple weeks, so we get to it today. Question for the podcast. Rossi pointed out that Sargeras killed a world soul that was void infested. Maybe we have an expansion with a void-infested titan? Not immediately, Shadowlands, but coming after. What do you think?
That's what I got. My answer, no, I do not think that will happen.
You don't think we're ever going to see a void-infested
nope.
titan?
Nope, I do not. I think the whole reason the Burning Legion started and started scourging the universe was to prevent that, and I think they did.
So you don't think that they missed anything out there in the infinite expanse of the universe?
During Legion, it was heavily implied that there were not many worlds left. Like, they were invading the last few. So whilst I suppose it is technically possible and Blizzard could do it, I don't think they're interested in doing it. They've never shown any sign of particularly feeling like doing that. And in general, I don't see it as a goal anytime soon.
Well, that's totally fair. I also am on the train of I don't think it's something that we'll likely see happen, if ever. I mean, if there is anything that ever has to deal with it, it might be like a flashback sequence of, you know, something that happened during the Burning Crusade, the Burning Crusade of the Burning Legion, not of the expansion. But like something in the previous history where Sargeras was like, yep, sure, I'm going to go do this now. See you guys. And destroys a bunch of planets, maybe. But I think that would be the most likely scenario in which we'd actually potentially see anything like that. All right, so our next question, Baladosh Watchers. Yours truly heard a whisper that the mechanism of death that was broken was Frostmourne, one of the most powerful death-related artifacts in lore, which literally got broken by the Ashbringer, its light counterpart, just before Sylvanas went bungee jumping off the top of Ice Crown. Frostmourne's signature ability was to drain souls of those killed, and if memory serves, was forged in Shadowlands, just like the Helm. Coincidence? Nah. The whispers say it's all true. That's from Goneril, a void mage, Avoid Elf Mage on Silvermoon. I don't think anything ever said Frostmourne was forged in the Shadowlands. Just the helm, right?
I don't think they've said so yet. I mean, we know that the sword exists. It certainly looks to be of a set with the helmet and the armor. Whether or not it was made in the same forge as the helm, I don't believe there's anything in game that currently says that. It is interesting to point out that supposedly it was a rune blade. We know that Frostmourne was a rune blade. Mm-hmm. We know that if you break a rune blade and then reforge it, it gets stronger. We know that Frostmourne was reforged into two swords instead of one. No one's ever, to my knowledge, reforged a rune blade into two separate rune blades and then reforged it back into one rune blade. So who knows there? But no, there's nothing in the game that says one way or the other at present. I don't believe. I believe Frostmourne's origins are completely unknown to us. I mean, it certainly could be that it was made at the same time as the helmet and the armor. It could be that it wasn't. We really don't know. Up until Shadowlands, we didn't even know that the helm was made in the Shadowlands. That's news to us. So, yeah, it's your idea is not entirely implausible, but it is not currently anything that we have any knowledge of.
Yeah, and I mean, and as far as that goes, like, there is a history of rune forging, as far as runes in general, in a lot of different aspects of WoW, so it could be anywhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the Shadowlands. But the interesting thing is that the idea, and this is not the first time I've heard it, is if somehow Frostmourne was the mechanism of death. That's the part that I've heard people say, but I don't quite get, because that would mean that it would have to be something that existed from the beginning of time, almost like I think it's been likened to like the Reaper's Blade. But I don't quite get the leap there.
I've looked it up, and apparently somewhere in Shadowlands it was revealed that Frostmourne, as well as the Helm of Domination, was made at the Forge of Domination.
Okay.
I don't know. All I've got is a one entry. I don't know where that was mentioned. I haven't seen it in the game yet. So I don't know where that's coming from. I've been on the beta for a while. I haven't seen it mentioned there. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere else. So I am not 100% sure as to where this is coming from. That being said, even if Frostmourne is that, it doesn't mean that breaking it broke the machinery of death. For one thing, the machinery of death seemed to have been working until later. If the machinery of death, quite frankly, if I'm going to pick a moment where the machinery of death got broken, it's when Sylvanas took her header off of the Ice Crown Citadel and made her deal with the Valkyr. That's when I think it started. But I don't know. I don't have anything to give you on that. It certainly is an interesting thing to think about, and they might very well come back and say that that's the case later, but I have no information on this subject.
Yeah, and that's the problem that we run into with this particular topic, is we don't know yet, right? Like, that's sort of one of the central points of Shadowlands, is sort of figuring out when things broke, how they broke, and if we can fix it. Like, that's sort of like the central theme. As far as Frostmourne breaking being that point, I really don't think so, because it seems like when they say that it's breaking to me, or when they say that the mechanism of death broke, we're talking about a catastrophically large cosmic event, right? Like, it's something that isn't just affecting here, because we see it, you know, when we're on Argus, even though we're tunneled together via whatever magic is there, that's broken too, and it's been broken. Yes, that can be because of the engine, because of what's there, what's you know, going on there. But what about the rest of the universe? What about the rest of the planes? What about the rest of all these little pocket dimensions that exist out there? Death seems like it hasn't worked well for a bit, and I don't know if it was before or after the shattering of Frostmourne, but I don't think Frostmourne was sort of the key. I could be wrong, and it could be something that they come back and, like Matt said, they could come back and say, nope, this was absolutely the moment where everything started going sideways. It's real hard to pin that all on Frostmourne because, I mean, what would be the point of it beforehand? You mentioned that it's soul-sucking, that it's almost like it's a prison, right? Like, every soul that it gathers, it keeps. And we saw that throughout Wrath of the Lich King. We saw that through the dungeon where, you know, literally Frostmourne's chilling and hanging there. And what is it doing? It's got a whole bunch of souls that it can kind of call to its beck and whim. Would that mean that maybe the mechanism was broken by the creation of it instead? Because very clearly death's not working the way it's supposed to with the sword. You know, when somebody dies, they're supposed to pass over the Shadowlands. They're very clearly not doing that with the sword. So I don't know. I honestly don't. And maybe we'll find out. Hopefully we'll find out. All right. Hello, watchers. It's LD, short for Lord Soth, again. I was thinking about how we don't actually know what happens when a Titan is birthed, hatched, matures. A couple weeks ago, you guys were answering one of my questions and mentioned the idea of the planet becomes the body of a Titan. This got me thinking. That could be an easy way to explain new landmasses appearing on Azeroth. It's already been implied that there might be continents on Azeroth other than the remnants of what used to be giant Kalimdor. If the Titan's planet is its body, then in theory, the planet could be growing. What if the reason new lands show up in any future expansion is because the planet is actually growing and getting larger? I wonder what your thoughts are on that idea. Thanks for the wonderful podcast. That's an interesting concept. What do you think?
I mean, we don't need the planet to be growing to have new continents. They just need to be places we haven't been yet. The problem with it growing a new continent is what's on it. How did that stuff get there? Did it just grow a new continent and a whole bunch of new people at once? It could do that. That could be what happens. But it's a little outlandish. That doesn't mean it's a bad idea, but it does mean you kind of need to think about what you're doing. In general, I don't know. I mean, we don't know. This is yet another one of those things where you guys ask a question, and it's an interesting question, but our answer is always going to be no idea. This is not anything they've said before. They have not talked about it, so we have no... There's nothing for me to go back to and say, oh, yeah, in this quest, they said that that happens, because they never have said that that happens. I think, in general, when you're coming up with these kind of ideas, they're cool ideas, but you have to think about what's the most likely to happen in the game. Like, are they really going to want to say, like, you know, Azeroth just gave birth to a new continent, go explore it? Or are they going to just say, oh, hey, we've never been here before? I think there's merit to both, but I definitely think the second one, the idea that there's a new land we haven't been to yet, is less effort. You know, you don't have to jump through hoops and explain that the planet's growing. Plus, I don't think they want, based on statements they've made in the past, I don't think they ever want to move Azeroth to the point where the Titan awakes.
Yeah, because that's sort of like the end of the game, right?
Well, no, we don't know. We have no idea. But it doesn't seem like something they're interested in doing. I mean, going back so far as previously, developers on the game have even said it would never happen. They then backed up their statement. But my point being, if a developer's willing to say this is never going to happen, even if he later on backs up his statement, he clearly doesn't want it to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a feeling against it. I don't think that they're ever going to make that much work for themselves.
Yeah.
And straight up.
I tend to agree with that. But the interesting concept here, and I understand that, like, a lot of these questions are things we're not going to know, and those answers are going to be, I don't know. But I think people want us to kind of grow from those questions a little bit. And what I'm taking away from this one is maybe not necessarily that the body of the Titan grows, but maybe her consciousness starts to refocus, because we have something now that we haven't had before she was in incredible pain and under assault, which is a voice. We have a speaker, and, you know, she's been under assault. Azeroth's been sort of like in this weird quaking mass of being torn apart in various aspects since Cataclysm, right? Like, Deathwing did a number on her. Then you have Sargeras, who did a number on her. Then you have the Legion, who did whatever they did. And we're still dealing with the aftermath of all of that. But what if things start to calm down, and now we have something we'd never had before, And it's that speaker, that voice, that ability to sort of translate a little bit more of what Azeroth is feeling or thinking. And what if it's not necessarily that Azeroth grows or is growing or is making, you know, more of a body for herself, but what if she's now more aware of herself a little bit? Like, now that she doesn't have, you know, maybe we get the sword out of her or we heal the wound or whatever. She doesn't have that screaming in her, you know, periphery anymore. The nightmare is gone. We've at least put a temporary stop to her nightmares, the things that were directly affecting her. You know, now she can calm down a little bit and now she can start refocusing. And what if she starts telling Magni about these other places that the champions have never been to before? You know, what if Magni says, look, you know, Azeroth told me about this new land, well, new to us. It's over here. She wants us to go see what's going on there. She wants us to go visit the people there. You know, what if we start doing things like that instead, where, you know, instead of having this immediate, massive threat that has to be dealt with, and besides having this, like, panicking titan that we are trying to defend, what if it becomes this point where it becomes that level of exploration, that level of sort of world building, where that's the vehicle for it? It's, look, we... You know, she told me about she feels a new landmass over here that, or she feels a landmass over here that, you know, she couldn't focus on before. It just happened to be smaller than the bigger ones. Go investigate. Like, would you think something like that would be better?
Here's the thing. I don't think it matters what I think is better. I mean, that wasn't my point in the first place. I don't
think it's a bad idea. Well, I'm not saying better. I'm just saying, like, speculate, like, what if we did go to new lands, like, we've talked about it before, but, like, what vehicle would you want that to sort of happen?
See, I don't feel the need for one. We go to new lands because they're there and they're new. I don't need Magni to have, like, to show up at my front door and go, champion, I found a new land. Have you been drinking, Magni? Never mind. We're going to this place because Azeroth said to. You really have been drinking, haven't you? No, it's great. I don't really feel. Sometimes I feel like there's too much work put into why we're going to a place. Like, sometimes it makes sense. Like with Shadowlands, that makes sense because otherwise we're not going to go to the Land of the Dead. It doesn't sound like a tremendously friendly place, and I don't want to go. But, you know, okay, gotta go. Fine. But I do think sometimes we're like, you know, what could possibly justify this? The fact that we need a new expansion? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think it's that trope of the movie, though, right?
Partially, I think the problem is that I'm down to just... I would love it if there was just, like, literally, the new expansion started, they threw me on a boat and said, you're going to explore uncharted places. And you literally had no idea where you were going. And the only reason you were going there was because you had never been there. That would be cool to me. That's an interesting idea. It is not one we've had in WoW. Every time we've done WoW, every single expansion, there's a big threat, and we know it's coming, and we go to deal with it. And just once, I would like it to be, we don't know what's there. There might not be anything there. Go explore. Oh, it turns out there's stuff there. I'd like to do the Explore the Unknown expansion, where it's not about, you know, the hordes up to nothing, to no good, or the burning legions out there, or whatever. It's literally just, we don't know what's here. There's an entire planet we're living on, and we only know one continent. Go look around. I think that'd be cool. I don't think it needs any further justification. I don't think we need to have someone come and tell me that Azeroth's having bad dreams and to go look into it. That stuff might happen, but, I mean... Star Trek doesn't have to have, do you know what I'm saying? Like, Star Trek didn't have to have every week. It wasn't every week, wasn't like the movies where something bad happens and you have to deal with it. It was literally just, we're out in uncharted places charting them. I think that could be a really cool expansion. And I think it's time that we move past the world. I want an expansion where the world's not about to freaking end. You know, we have had the world about to freaking end for like,
How many expansions now?
Yeah, you know, the dead are all walking. A giant dragon's come to blow us all up. We're having a resource war in Pandaland. Okay, that one's not so much. But oh, look at that old god head, old god dart. So it's still bad. People are coming from another timeline to kill us. The Legion's back. No, it's we're going to kill the planet. It's like, could we have just one expansion? The dead are coming back again. Okay, all right. We're going to go to Land of the Dead, but after that, I want my vacation expansion. I know full well that we're going to get, you know, whatever the next expansion is, there's going to be a big bad and all that, but at least start off with, like, just one expansion can start with, like, you know, we're going to go explore uncharted places and contact people and learn the world. Wouldn't it be great for one expansion the Horde didn't burn everything down?
Yeah, no, that'd be pretty good.
One expansion, your Horde, and it's like, what's our mission? We're going to go meet new people and say hi. That's it? That's all we got? No, that's it. We're just going to go say hi to people we don't know.
Or the whole, like, you know, you go to that resource thing, right? The Horde's always been one of those things where it's like, yeah, we're strapped for resources. Well, maybe it's time to start looking for other lands that aren't inhabited by the Alliance.
Like, yeah, or, you know, maybe we could just, you know, like, you know, not like, maybe the resources could become, like, you know, manageable. I don't know. I really want one expansion that just calms it down a little. So I kind of feel like let the sleeping Titan have her nap. Let everybody just chill out and let's just go to new places because they're new places. And, you know, that's where I am on this subject.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of merit there for that, I think, too. Like, and I think part of it is players have gotten so used to there having to be a grand reason for everything. And maybe there doesn't have to be. Maybe this is just the healing of what comes after. Like, we now need to explore. We need to see what's out there. And it's not because there's an imminent war or an imminent threat. And sure, maybe we uncover one accidentally and we pull the whole, you know, Indiana Jones, we accidentally pull the golden idol off of the pedestal type thing and then a giant boulder comes to kill us. Sure, whatever. But I like the idea of just, like you said, just exploring, just finding things. And that's the interesting thing about that too, is like there's an established like piece of that in the game too. Look at the Wandering Isles, right? The giant massive sea turtle that just went from place to place. You know, you had this wonderful Pandaren exploration thing where they wanted to go see what was out there. Let's get that back. We sort of disrupted that. What other lands did they see? It wasn't like they just randomly showed up at just these, you know, two continents that we had. There were other places that they may have discovered. We've never stopped to ask the Pandarens what they found. Like, ever since they joined either faction, it's just been war all the time, right? There hasn't been any sort of peace to just kind of grow and do that exploration. Maybe it's they go, hey, you know, we used to ride around in the back of this real cool turtle and, you know, he's still out there, you know, now doing sort of things and exploring. And like, that's sort of a thing that we used to do. We could do that again. I mean, you don't have a turtle, but I mean, you have skyships and things and we can just hop on those and, you know, go see what else is out there. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Like, I'd love to see something
like
that.
I'll take just about anything as long as it's not, you know, everything's going to poop. I've had enough expansions of everything's going to poop. I mean, seriously. I need a break from just, you know, it's the end of the world and I don't feel good about it, man. Now, this one's bad. This one's even worse. Oh, big sword in the planet. Can we have just one expansion that maybe has like an upswing? Just one.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Our next one comes from Shadana, again, and this one is possibly going to be spoilery a little bit just because Matt's been playing in the Shadowlands beta, so if we get to something like that, just consider this your brief warning. So question for Blizzard Watch / Lore Watch, this could be used on either podcast: how far into Shadowlands leveling do you expect to get before we see a major lore figure who has died? By major, I mean someone a large majority of the player base would know by name, with some memory of what the character did while alive. Also, how far into it will we get before we find out what Sylvanas has been doing? And finally, predictions for Nathanos. I want to kill him so badly, myself, preferably one-on-one in a setting in which I can come back and repeat once for every snarky remark he made in BFA. First of all, I 100% support that decision with Nathanos, and I hope they give us the opportunity. But that is an interesting thing, like, I know a lot of people have been asking this question.
You will be level 51.
Really?
Yes. Do you want me to tell you who it is? I can tell you who it is.
I mean, we did sort of give the spoiler warnings. I'm going to guess.
You see Uther the Lightbringer by level 51.
I was going to say, I saw his model.
Yeah, you see Uther like within one level. If that. I think you could theoretically be level 50.
That's Bastion, right?
That's Bastion, yep. You don't, there's no pick, you don't get the pick of the first time through. I don't know if they do that after. I don't know if your next character through can pick and choose. But the first time you level, you go through the zones in a specific order. And Uther the Lightbringer is absolutely there. You run into him. He's, you know, so yeah, right there, level 50. Level 50 to 51. As for, you know, what Sylvanas doing, I think that's going to be more of an end game thing. I think that requires you to go through the four zones to try and clean things up before you get an audience with the big cheeses, so to speak, to find out what's been going on in the Maw. But I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet. I haven't done Revendreth at all yet. I've still been Bastion. Not that I need it. Not for leveling purposes, just because I like Bastion. And I've been playing around on multiple characters. So I haven't really gotten to Revendreth yet.
Man, that's a lot quicker than I expected, honestly. I kind of anticipated there being a little bit of a leeway before you got into somebody that big.
Oh, Mid-Boothers right there. I mean, he's not giving me quests or nothing. You don't talk to him. But he's there. You see him. You see him by level 50, 51. So, yeah.
So now, what about the Sylvanas portion of it? So,
well, like I said, I have no idea. I didn't see her or anything about her in Bastion. I don't think there's anything about her in Revendreth. I think it's an endgame situation where, like, after you do the four zones and you get them more or less to the point where things are resolved storyline-wise, I think you'll start to... The thing is each faction has its own questing, which also happens after you make the max level, and each faction's story is unique. So the way this seems to be going, you go through the four zones, the first time through, you go through the four zones to get to max level. You then pick one of the four covenants. When you do that, you get one of four stories that's kind of centered in a zone. So effectively, you go back to that zone. And you then do your max level stuff in that zone and you do the quest. And again, this could be wrong because I haven't done it yet. But it seems to be like, for instance, there was a bunch of data mining about Tyrande and her stuff. The stuff that was data mined seems to be from the faction quest in Ardenweald, if you pick the Night Fae. So if you didn't pick the Night Fae, you obviously wouldn't see that. And all that stuff has to happen. I think all that stuff is going on before you get to the point where you don't know anything about Sylvanas. But I don't know. This is stuff that I have not experienced yet. I don't think it's live in game yet, so I just can't answer that question. I know that I have not seen anything about it yet. But that's the best I can do for you.
Do you think that would be potentially a misstep? And I'm asking from a player perspective, because this is something we've talked about a lot as far as like delivering story in game and tying sort of the end game to the leveling experience. And they've had some weird combinations therein where, like, back in Burning Crusade, Illidan was supposed to be, like, the big bad, and you saw him twice. And then when Wrath of the Lich King, you had, obviously, the Lich King, and he was there every step of the way. Like, there were... You couldn't do a quest for, like, digging through poop without the Lich King popping up and going, ha ha ha! Like, and since then, it seems like they found almost a happy medium. But is it something where, with this story being so big, I don't know, I kind of almost expected there to be shades of whatever Sylvanas was doing before the end game. I don't know, like, you just haven't seen anything like that yet?
The thing is, I mean, what do you mean by what Sylvanas has been doing? Do you mean the whole thing where she broke the Helm of Domination and sent me to the Shadowlands? Because I see that right away.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course Shadowlands. We see that. I mean, like, during the whole thing, like, what she's
Sylvanas
doing
doesn't seem to... Sylvanas hasn't popped up. And I think a lot of people have the mistaken idea that Sylvanas is the one doing much of anything. I don't think that's the case. One of the things that Eon said when they were showing the new model of Sylvanas was that effectively she has made a covenant with the Maw. Just like you get to make a covenant with one of the four factions, she's made one with the Maw, and that's why her new armor set is out. She's effectively empowered by them, soulbound to one of them. She's part of that group. I don't think it's not Sylvanas's plan. It's not Sylvanas doing this. It's her, it's the jailer. It's the jailer's plan.
Okay. So then do you see shades of the jailer then?
The jailer's plan is in all the first thing you see is the anima drought. Like, if we assume that Sylvanas was the cause of that on Azeroth, that she was the one who's been feeding souls to the Maw instead of to, you know, say, you know, instead of them going where they're supposed to go, she's been the one behind that disruption, then, yeah, we see signs of her plan from the very beginning, because her plan is the chaos that's unfolding. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way around this. All this bad stuff that is happening is because Sylvanas made it happen. She's been working on this for this whole time. We know that we're going to see the whole thing about why Vol'jin chose Sylvanas to replace him. That's part of it. We've seen data mine stuff to indicate that we're finally going to find out who was behind that. That's part of Sylvanas' plan. But is Sylvanas showing up and going, here's what I'm doing? No, at least not that I can tell you, because I have not seen all four zones yet. I've seen one. And I haven't even been to Revendreth yet, which is another zone, which I don't think she pops up in. There's nothing about her in the stuff I've seen about it, but I haven't played all the way through it yet, so I couldn't really tell you. And that's... I don't really have a problem with that, because quite frankly, I think we need to pull back. I think that, for instance, Tyrande's focus is on Sylvanas.
Yeah, very much so.
That's where Tyrande is going. I think for players, it's less that and more... I mean, like, let's put it this way. What right do Horde players even have to be mad at her? What did she do to you? Nothing. She got mean about you at the end. Ooh, she doesn't like us as much as we want her to. That's your big heroic motivation for going after her? She killed a guy. You guys have killed lots of people. Sorry. You don't want that to be the major driving story. You want the whole overarching thing. You want... Oh, this is what's going on. The Shadowlands is drained of anima. It's crumbling. The structure's falling apart. This evil, malevolent force is going to take over everything. That needs to be the focus, at least at first. And then once we've gotten far enough in, Sylvanas is part of that can come in. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, so kind of like the Warlords of Draenor, where, like, you know, originally it was the Iron Horde that was the big thing. That was what we were dealing with. And then it eventually turned into... the Legion, right? Like, I don't think that's what I'm saying.
I think it's more along the lines of, I think you don't want Sylvanas to be too soon. It's not a question of, you know, it turning to, oh, it really Sylvanas all along. I just think you don't want Sylvanas up front, because when she finally does come back into the story, you want it to be after people have seen the stakes. You want people to be like, oh, this is what's going on here. This is the stakes for Azeroth. This is the stakes for the Shadowlands. This is how bad it actually is. If it's just, here she is right away. Like, the problem, I honestly feel like the Illidan problem wasn't a problem. Whereas the Lich King problem was a problem. You only see Illidan a few times was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. I always thought it worked pretty well. I just didn't like how he basically died and then it was the end of it. I felt like, you know, it would have been better had, at the end of it, they'd captured him and put him back in his box, the one that he'd been in for 10,000 years. That would have been a much worse fate for him. You know, he would have, like, that would have been the worst thing they could have done to him. Killing him, well, he just comes back. He's got an immortal demon soul. But with the Lich King, because he showed up so much, people got tired of him, and people didn't really respect him anymore. You know what I'm saying? If Sylvanas is showing up every, like, if she shows up at the end of every zone and does her, you know, you'll never stop my master plan, people get tired of it. And it's hard to do the MMO thing where you're like, where you do like the Xanatos gambits where the heroes win, but it actually feeds into the villain's plan. It's difficult to do. It can work occasionally, but it's hard. So I think to a certain degree, you want to keep her off stage as long as possible. I don't say you want to keep her off stage for the entire expansion, but think of it this way. How charged up were you for Queen Ashara?
Pretty charged. Like,
and then she gets out in like the 8.2 raid, and then effectively she's done for the expansion. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, because you don't wanna hit the sort of crescendo too soon, right? Like, you don't want it to be overdone to the point where players want to they need the resolution, because otherwise it just feels like it's dragging on forever, i.e. Lich King. But you also need to have sort of like it paced out well, where if that is sort of like the last stages, that you don't get to it early and then you feel let down from it. I understand what you're kind of getting at there. Well, yeah.
What I'm really saying is I want to avoid the Grom Hellscream phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
Where Grom Hellscream is built up as the bad guy of the entire expansion till you actually get to a certain point, and then he's not even a bad guy anymore. And it's like, what was that? Now we're friends? I don't want to be your friend. I want to punch you in the face. You're on the box. I've been getting ready to punch you in the face for an entire expansion. What the heck? And I'm not saying they're going to have Sylvanas turn to us and go, see, you're here in time. Now help me stop the jailer. Although that would be hilarious. I think a lot of people would lose it. I think I'd lose it.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Quite frankly, but it would be funny. But I mean, like, here's the thing. One of the things I've been thinking about in regards to this, go back to the Lich King thing for a moment. Do you know why I never agreed with people that the Lich King was overdone?
Why is that?
Because I skipped the heck out of Dracthyron Keep and all the quests that led up to Dracthyron Keep. Because okay. I hated Zoldrak as a zone, and I almost never went there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, and it was pretty. That was pretty much like
that was the Lich King all over it. Yeah. Multiple times with that one troll who's like, you know, wants to betray the trolls to the Lich King. I skipped all that, and I just, when I did Zoldrak, I did the tail end with like the Loa. So I didn't see the Lich King for that whole bit, which really helps with the whole idea of the Lich King, you see him too much. You get to see him initially, like up front, you saw him in, I want to say Howling Fjord, but I don't know if it's Howling Fjord or if it's the other one. What's the other one? Borean Tundra. Mm-hmm. I think it was Howling Fjord. At least if you're Alliance, you saw the Lich King in Howling Fjord briefly. And it's cryptic, and he doesn't really explain what he's doing there. And then you don't see him again until you start going to Icecrown. And then it makes sense you see him in Icecrown. You know? And so I was perfectly happy with my amount of Lich King exposure. And then I went through Dracthyron on an alt, and I was like, oh, this is why everybody says he's overdone. Because he's all over this freaking place. Zoldrak and Dracthyron. The first half of Zoldrak and all of Dracthyron Keep, he is all over it like a cheap suit. So yeah, I get it. And I think that I haven't seen her yet at all in Bastion, and I think that that's fine. As for Nathanos, who you put on the tail end there,
yep.
There were some statements by Eon in the most recent live interview he did implying that Nathanos is going to be dealt with in the pre-expansion patch.
Interesting.
I don't know what they mean, what he meant by that. He specifically pointed out that Nathanos is being hunted by a lot of people.
Well, not only that, but he was also given a mission right at the very, very tail end there by Sylvanas.
Well, that's the book. You know, we know that's the book.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen in that pre-expansion patch. I don't know what Nathanos will be doing there. I don't know what his fate will be. But whatever it is, it seems like it's going to be there. And that's one to think about. I don't, as much as, you know, for a lot of us, killing Nathanos would be like, you know, a nice dash of sweet, sweet candy. Story-wise, do you want to kill off that guy just yet? If you're the, you know what I mean? Do you want him around? And the thing is if we kill him, well, we're going to Shadowlands anyway. That might even be like part of the plan. If they want to infiltrate him into the Shadowlands, getting killed is a good way to do it.
Yeah, especially if like the mechanism is everything goes to the Maw and that's where Sylvanas is, then it just reunites them, right? Like it's sort of like a ripcord, so he can do whatever he needs to do without consequence at that point if that's what happens.
So who knows? I don't know. But that's, as of that, the last we heard was that the implication is that we'll be seeing the Thanos again in the pre-patch.
But hey, maybe you'll get lucky and maybe it'll be something you can redo over and over again so that you can punch him in his undead boyfriend face over and over and over and over again. But yeah. our next question comes from LD Soth again. This is kind of a long one, so I'll try to get through it and then we can break it down. One of the coolest parts of the Cataclysm revamp was that we got to see how zones had progressed and changed over time aside from the natural disasters. Sentinel Hill is expanding, Eastern Plaguelands is starting to show signs of regrowth, Azshara has a goblin city built in it, and other various changes. With each new expansion, we seem to be getting a slight update to certain zones. Stormwind's front gates were fixed after Deathwing, We got Lion's Rest after Legion. Sorry for bringing that up, Matt. Teldrassil got burned. Tristwell Glades got wrecked. Darkshore is phased. The Vale and Uldum are phased, etc. With us going to the Shadowlands next expansion and likely spending most, if not all, of the expansion away from Azeroth, do you think we might see a major world overhaul again? Maybe not quite the level of Cataclysm, but it would be cool to see updates to all of these various zones that that reflect time passing. Lok Madan's dam would be rebuilt. Gadgetzan could be expanded a little. Lord Danal rebuilt. Which zones would you like to see updated and why? I think we'll deal with that and then we'll go on to the second one. I really hope they never do another Cataclysm level revamp ever again.
I don't think, here's the thing. Because of the way they're doing leveling in Shadowlands, they could do it without making things messed up or awkward, because you just phase it for max level characters.
Fair.
And you could have, and I don't think he's saying he wants a Cataclysm level revamp. He's saying he wants to see, like, if you're level 60 and you're in Shadowlands, he'd like to see the world reflecting the end of the Fourth War.
And I'm down with that. That's immersion, yeah. Right? That's world and progression.
That kind of stuff, which is what he seems to be asking for, I think they absolutely could do it. I think you could see more of it in the expansion after Shadowlands, because we're going to have to come back. And, you know, we've been talking about going to places we've never been and all that, and I'm down for it. I would absolutely love, like I said, I would love my vacation expansion. But another expansion they've never really done, and which could be really interesting, is the Fixing What You Broke expansion.
Yeah.
And
where that you're could going just and rebuilding be, things versus tearing it, them down.
When you first played World of Warcraft, there was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of threats. There was a lot of interesting things. There wasn't a big bad, because new stuff kept happening that was not related. And it's one of the things that I think when people are trying to talk about why original World of Warcraft was popular and why we should go back to WoW Classic and all that stuff, one thing I don't hear talked about enough is the idea of a story where it isn't all the same thing over and over again until it's over. And that's one of the problems we've had ever since. Burning Crusade, it's the Legion, it's the Legion, it's the Legion, it's the Legion. If it's not the Legion, it's because of the Legion. Like the Illidari, well, that's because of the Legion. And all that stuff happening there was because of the Legion. Then you go to, Wrath of the Lich King. It's either the Lich King or it's stuff happening because of the Lich King. With Yogg-Saron, that's a big example. He's been mining Saronite. He's probably woke the damn thing up. The whole thing with Malagos and the Mage War is a subset. It's not really the Legion, and it's actually one of my favorite subplots to the expansion because it's completely separate. But that kind of thing, it makes an expansion feel bigger if it isn't always this one problem. Cataclysm, it's pretty much all Deathwing or stuff Deathwing has caused to happen, or it's the old gods taking advantage of the things Deathwing is doing, which they're responsible for anyway. So, and if you think about it, N'Zoth, who we just dealt with in Battle for Azeroth, has been a threat since Cataclysm.
Yeah, he was the taskmaster for Deathwing.
So all this time, we've been waiting to deal with that guy since then. I really feel like it would be cool to have an expansion where there's no set villain, just every patch a new problem happens we have to deal with. And they're all problems caused by, you know, leaving stuff out to just, you know, we'll have to, we every expansion we're like, well, these are bad problems, but we have to deal with this really pressing one first. And we never go back to deal with those problems. And it's time to do that expansion. And I think if you did that expansion, you could finally do the update you want to do. And you don't have to, because you're still going to let people level through the other stuff, you leave it there for them to level through. And then when they're max level, they're confronted with the new Azeroth. And it doesn't have to be big changes, but, you know, what's going on with Teldrassil? Is it dead? Is it never going to bloom again? Or is it regenerating like Nordrassil did? Show us that. Tell us. This is the new status quo for Teldrassil. This is the new status quo for Darkshore. Darkshore is permanently dark now, you know? I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but it could be what they're doing. And that's just, I really feel like that would not be a bad use of their time. It doesn't have to be. The thing is, you and I are both kind of in agreement that you don't want a Cataclysm revamp again. But the reason Cataclysm Revamp didn't work was because they'd spent so much time revamping stuff from 1 to, like, you know, the original 1 to 60 stuff that they, it felt like they didn't have enough time to really do the end game the way that they should have. And then the end game also wasn't very cohesive. Like, you went to, you know, you went to this place underwater. You go to Mount Hyjal. You go to Deepholm. Why? It's like people are used to, and they seem to prefer expansions where you go to a place and you explore it.
So you kind of got to where I was going to go with it. I think when I was saying that I don't want a Cataclysm level revamp, what I'm saying is I don't want the world to not be. When Cataclysm happened, there was no phasing. That was just how it was. I like the idea of phasing. I like the idea of the world evolving because, like everybody else, or I shouldn't say like everybody else, but like you've stated, I like this idea of coming back to a place we've been and fixing it or seeing something come from it. I mean, look at the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. We went there. It was beautiful. We blew it up. And now, at the end of that expansion, it was starting to recover. There was that glimmer of hope, you know, and now it's all sort of old gaudy technically again, whatever. But, you know, the idea of these places reacting to us and what happens after that has always been really fascinating to me. And I'd love to see that explored more with all of these zones that we touched, all of these, the aftermath of all these things. Like, what is it? Westfall has a bunch of the elemental catastrophes, right? Like, it has that area that's, you know,
yeah, it's still floating. Still, yeah. Weird stuff going on. The cyclones for no reason. Yeah.
But Cataclysm's done. We're done with that now. We're done with sort of that entire thing of the elementals going haywire. I'd like to see, you know, go fly through Westfall at max level or go run through it. And maybe there's no more vortex or tornado. Maybe the people there are figuring out how to get those land masses, work around them or, you know, become like a living, thriving area again. I'd like to sort of.
It would be
kind of
hilarious
that.
To see like teams of people out in the fields throwing grappling hooks up and like pulling chunks of land back down. Like, you know, imagine that. Like, they're seriously like they're bringing the chunks of land back down. Then they're like trying to figure out, okay, how do we make it stay down here? Like, can we just push it back together? Do we have to do something? Like, you know, if assuming that for whatever reason it doesn't just fix, like maybe whatever happened is permanent. Maybe they have to get a shaman to come out and talk to the elements and be like, can you guys stop this? This is kind of messed up.
Yeah, and now we have a good opportunity with, like, now there's the Kul'tiran shamans and all this other stuff. Like, there's access to a whole bunch of help that wasn't there before across both factions. Maybe start dealing with some of that. You joke about the grappling hooks, but maybe the dragons help. Maybe that's something that they come out and be like, yeah, this is not bad per se, but it's not great either. Maybe we can help them out. Maybe we can push the land back down or do something to give them a hand. Like, I would like to see, for lack of a better term, Azeroth United. Like, we're done with like the big bads. We're done with that, and here's how life is sort of getting on. And we talked about that, I think, last week and the week before, where some of the most compelling storylines in early Warcraft weren't, you know, really gigantic big bads. You know, it was the Defias Brotherhood. It was the Scarlet Crusade. It was these organizations that were people in these, you know, different areas doing different things for different reasons. It wasn't this cosmic entity. It wasn't this, you know, overarching, you know, mustache twirling villain, although with Scarlet Crusade that gets a little complicated. But the point remains, like, it was more, if you were to put it in terms of like comic books, like street level, right? Like, I'm okay with going back to some of that, because even as we are like these big burly heroes, we've never had to clean up our own messes. We just kind of leave it. I'd like us to have to go back and deal with it a little bit. Maybe go feed the hungry. Maybe go build some barns or homes. Maybe put some farms back up that maybe were raised in the middle of our weird battles and fights between the different factions. I'd like to see something that shows the world trying to move on. And I think that's one of the cooler things, especially in a game that's been around this long, is when they can start doing that, it gives the world a sort of a sense of scale, right? Like, it's not static. It doesn't, even though it is a game, the game can evolve, the quests can evolve, and they've shown that their willingness to take things out of the game or move past things. And now with phasing technology being like it is, there's no reason we can't have our cake and eat it too if they wanted to. And it's something that I do hope that they want to do. Our next part of that question, as I was writing up this last question, I had another thought. How would you feel about the Battle for Gilneas patch during Shadowlands? Perhaps while Sylvanas is gone and the undead leadership is in chaos, along with Undercity being unlivable, this seems like the perfect opportunity for Gen to reclaim his home. If Blizzard's intent is intent on keeping Tel Drossel burned down for a while, perhaps Gen reclaims his home and then offers shelter to the Night Elves as repayment for taking in his people. He could easily get the Night Elves on board, as we last left Gilneas in the hands of the undead, and they would likely relish any chance they got to strike back against the people that worked for Sylvanas. Do you think we will see such an event at all, even if it's not in Shadowlands? I kind of want that, actually.
I'm not opposed to it. I mean, certainly think it would be interesting. I don't have anything against it. I just don't know. If you're asking me, do I like it versus do I think it'll happen? Those are different answers. I don't think, based on what they've said, I think the pre-patch to Shadowlands is going to be about going into Shadowlands. And I don't think we're going to see anything like that during Shadowlands, because I think Shadowlands is pretty occupied with the Shadowlands. Maybe at like a later date, maybe it'll be a surprise patch 9.1 or something. I don't know. I don't know if we'll see anything like that. My gut instinct is to say that we're not going to. That's not saying I don't want to see it. That's not saying I don't think it would be cool. I think it would be very cool. I don't know if the Night Elves moving to Gilneas is the best move. I've been opposed to that from the beginning, and I think that the aftermath of Battle for Azeroth shows that the Night Elves are more or less in control of the territory they were in control of before. They've taken back Darkshore. They're on top of Mount Hyjal doing stuff. They're still in the zones they were in. They have pushed the Horde out. I think part of the peace treaty was that the Horde agreed to get out. So I don't know if they need to go live in Gilneas. They've got places to live. It's more a question of, do I think that they would welcome the chance for some revenge? Oh yeah, absolutely. But I don't just gut feeling. I don't feel like that's going to be the opening to Shadowlands or involved in Shadowlands very much.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's something we'd likely see during Shadowlands, but it's something I could see maybe in the aftermath of Shadowlands, right? It's one of those things where, like you said, do I think it's likely versus do I want it? Yes, I absolutely want it. I've wanted it since the very first time Gilneas was lost. I'd love to see that land made into a capital city for the Alliance. And by capital city, I mean like how the other cities are, like Stormwind and Ironforge, where you can go and you have auction houses and banks and stuff like that. I think it would be absolutely fantastic to be able to do that, especially now with Tel Drossel not being a city anymore. It's gone. It's supposed to be burned down, and if it's going to recover, it's going to take some time. I'd like to see sort of, I don't want to say balance restored, but having Gilneas be taken back at some point feels like a really good way to do that, sort of bring another city for folks to sort of go into. And I think that having it be after Shadowlands makes more sense, right? Like having it be in part of that cleanup. The big plot is defeated. Sylvanas is whatever happens there. The aftermath of the Alliance, Tauron storyline is done. And then you have Gen Greymane, who comes back from all of this, who comes back from battling in the land of the dead or whatever it is he's going to be doing there during this time. We don't know yet. And says, you know what? I've lost two cities. Don't still really agree with Anduin so much. Maybe it's time we go take our city back. Hey, Night Elves, let's go get some of that revenge. You know, I could see that being an after thing, and I would be okay with that. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. I don't think it's something we'll likely see, and if I want to be surprised and be wrong about that. But I think they have other things that will probably be more immediate or take more precedent and are more upfront. But who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe we'll get Gilneas back at some point, and there'll be top hats for everybody. But that's all we have for questions today. Matt, do you have any parting thoughts?
No, I have no parting thoughts. I think nothing. I am in a void. No, I mean, one of the things I feel like saying is that just because you have an idea that we can't really say much about doesn't mean it's not a good idea. I just, a lot of times it's like, that could be cool. Okay. But I mean, I don't know. I feel weird about trying to like always jump off of everybody else's ideas because a lot of times they're not ideas I would have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't want to become the guy who nitpicks your idea. And that's what I would do because it's like the reason I don't have that idea is it doesn't fit into the way I think. And here's all my problems with it. And that's just not fun. Sending in an idea to us and me going, well, it doesn't make sense because of this and this and this is that. That's not great. I don't think people want to hear that. So I'm trying to like, you know, work into your ideas like some way to make them something I think about, something that's in tune with the way I look at it. For instance, the idea about Azeroth growing and getting new continents. Just by itself, that's a great idea. I don't know that they'll ever do that. And I don't know what they would do with it if they did. But I wanted to say that. I don't.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Like we don't want you to feel like we don't want to talk about your ideas or that we don't want to like, you know, go into them. We do. It's just that sometimes it's hard for us to. We can sometimes be very critical about how we approach things. And this is actually a conversation that we just had, or I just had on Twitter with one of our lovely listeners, where sometimes an idea is brought to us and our gut instinct is no, because this, and that's sometimes really hard to deal with. Again, we don't want you to stop sending us your ideas. It's just that understand that we're going to have to approach it maybe a little bit differently. Also, if you send something in and you want us to approach it from a different angle or you want to hear our take on it, lay that out a little bit, right? Don't just say, here's my idea, go. Say, here's my idea, here's how it fits in with maybe something I heard you guys talk about before. What do you think? That's a little bit different, and that's something we can work with a little bit easier. Not to say, again, that we don't appreciate all of the questions and support and everything we get from you guys. We do, and we want you to keep sending them in. Keep sending them into podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Keep sending them into our Discord channel so that we have things to talk about and work with you. But try to be a little more meatier with it and sort of understand that if we just say no, it's not because we don't like the idea. It's because sometimes it just doesn't fit with.
And sometimes I'll be upfront with you guys. Sometimes I don't like the idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's me. But I, as everyone who's ever listened to me talk knows, I'm a jackass. So it's not a surprise. But seriously, a lot of times it's more along the lines of that's an interesting idea, but you've already presented it all. Like there's that thing you said is interesting. Is the best I can give you. And that one really keeps coming back to me. As I'm sitting here thinking about it, one of the things about Azeroth that's really interesting to me is that everything we've seen is the remains of one continent.
Yeah, one.
Everything singular. One big continent. Now, was that the only continent Azeroth had? It seems odd that it would only have the one continent, but at the same time, it seems odd that if four or five old gods were sent to Azeroth, and they all landed on that one continent and they didn't go anywhere else. One possibility could be that back then Azeroth did only have the one continent. Maybe she has more now because she's been growing them over the course of centuries or eons. That's something to be thought about. It doesn't mean that they have to grow now. Do you know what I'm saying? Your idea is one that you could take and run with in terms of the past. Perhaps in response to what happened, Azeroth grew new continents in much the same way. If I stab you, you're going to form scars,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one way I could go with it. But I don't always think of them right away because we're doing this show live. You know, I mean, we're not broadcasting it live, but we're doing a one take recording here. I often don't think of this till like 10 minutes later and Joe's talking about something else and I can't go, oh, hey, Joe, I just thought of this, except often
we
I
do.
Can. Yeah, but still, it is one of those things where, you know, give us a little time to chew on it, because I do, See, I'm going to keep thinking about this one all day now. Thinking about other possibilities for it.
And this might be something we come back to it later, too. And, like, that's something that we might wind up doing, too, is resurrecting some older questions after we've had some time to sort of dig into them a little bit. And
in terms of, like, for instance, yeah, in terms of, like, you're asking questions about Shadowlands that I can't answer yet. Frostmourne, that whole thing. We don't know yet. Like, we really don't. Like, there's only, like, one or two places where I even found references to Frostmourne being made with the Helm of Domination. And none of those are Blizzard sources. Like, I found it on a Wikipedia and I found it on a forum site. That doesn't mean that Blizzard didn't say it. It means I haven't found where Blizzard said it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Red Shirt Guy. That dude's crazy. He can remember everything. I can't. I have to go look at stuff up. I have to go make sure. So, yeah, keep that in mind, too, when you ask us stuff. Sometimes we just don't know.
Well, with that, I think we can call it a podcast. So thank everybody for the continued support. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. And thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.